Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Heart of the Matter. At the last minute, so to speak, I decided to tape a program this week since I have some information I've been wanting to share, and I haven't gotten around to doing it in the past couple of weeks. Now, as I assume all of our American listeners know, the U.S. Senate just recently passed a so-called immigration reform bill, which is really nothing but an attempt to grant amnesty and citizenship to 11 million, and it may in fact end up being as many as 20 million illegal aliens, the vast, vast majority of them from Mexico. Now, there is much talk about fixing our broken immigration system, but the fact is, it's not broken. The fact is, the law is not being upheld by our government, including with regard to employers who knowingly hire illegals, and including with regard to illegal aliens who are not dealt with lawfully, and including that our border is purposely not secured and properly guarded. And to top it all off, our federal government is interfering with states who want to enforce the immigration laws. And also, illegal aliens are being given welfare benefits, in some cases driver's licenses as well, and in all cases access to virtually all the rights of a citizen other than voting, that they have to do covertly. Now, this is an issue which profoundly impacts our national sovereignty and security, the safety of our citizens, the property rights of a great many citizens living in the border states, our economy, but also, and this is very important, there is a religious aspect to this situation. This is very important, and we've spoken of this many times over the years. Now, in just a few moments, I'm going to speak once again concerning the Roman Catholic Church's efforts on behalf of the Open Borders Amnesty Movement, which for Rome has to do with Romanizing America by ongoing illegal immigration and then periodic amnesties, such as the one back in the 1980s, such as the one that Rome is pushing hard for now. The strategy and the mantra, well, much of it, of the Open Borders Amnesty crowd has come from the Roman Catholic Church leadership. For instance, you hear such phrases as, we must bring these poor people out of the shadows, out of the shadows. You hear that all the time now. And the claim that it would be not only cruel but impossible to round up and deport millions who are here unlawfully. Of course, the truth is, if those millions could not access welfare benefits and didn't have other such incentives to be here, and if employment laws with regard to hiring persons here unlawfully were upheld, and if arrest, prosecution, deportation were sure for those illegals who are discovered and apprehended, there would be then a self-deportation. The amnesty our government should offer to illegal aliens, that is, those who are not fleeing true persecution, that would be a different story, but for illegal aliens, the amnesty that should be offered is this, that they have so many days, perhaps something like 120 days, to appear at a border checkpoint, be background checked, and then cross over into Mexico with a warning that they must get in line like other Mexicans who truly want to be Americans, and that if they're caught crossing the border illegally again, they will face mandatory prison time. But before I share some things related to this amnesty bill in Rome, I want to say just a few words about a coalition of new evangelicals, and in some cases openly apostate evangelicals, who are working in harness with Rome in this effort. First, you have the apostate Jim Wallace's organization, Sojourners, and then also the National Association of Evangelicals, and you have the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention, and you have the National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference, all lobbying hard on Capitol Hill, including this week, pushing amnesty under the guise of Christian compassion and using scripture wildly out of context. And then there is a somewhat shadowy group you may not have heard of. It's called the Evangelical Immigration Table. Now, let me just read you a paragraph from a Breitbart news story, and this is accurate. Let me just read you a quote here. Here it is. The National Immigration Forum, NIF, The force behind the so-called Evangelical Immigration Table, EIT, is actually a front group for players on the institutional left, including billionaire George Soros and the Ford Foundation, according to reporting by Breitbart News and other outlets, unquote. Now, of course, George Soros is a vile, evil man. He's a wicked man. He despises the Lord. He despises Christians. He certainly despises America. And he seems to support everything which the Lord hates. And here's another excerpt from that report. Jim Wallace, the president and CEO of Sojourners, a leading force in the Evangelical Immigration Table Group, has admitted to accepting funding from Soros as well, unquote. Now, the article goes on to document that Jim Wallace, who is essentially a communist and an extreme antinomian, a dear friend of President Obama, by the way, and a counselor of his, this man is an antinomian masquerading as an evangelical. He is essentially a communist. This Jim Wallace originally denied that the Evangelical Immigration Table had received funding from Soros, but then admitted it since IRS records proved that he wasn't telling the truth. In fact, the Evangelical Immigration Group, this Evangelical Immigration Table, I should say, group, has received directly and indirectly millions, I say including indirectly, from Soros and his group. Now, who are the leaders of the Evangelical Immigration Table? Well, I'm just going to read their names from the group's website. I'm sure you're going to know some of these people. Let's just go through this quite quickly. You have Leith Anderson, National Association of Evangelicals. You have Stephen Bauman, World Relief. David Beckman, Bread for the World. Noel Castellanos, I don't know if I pronounced that right, Christian Community Development Association. Luis Cortez, may not pronounce that right. I can't pronounce his last name or the name of the group, I guess it is. Then you have Richard Land, of course, Southern Baptist Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. Samuel Rodriguez, National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference. You have a man here, Gabriel, I'm not going to try the last name, National Latino Evangelical Coalition. Here's Matt Staver, Liberty Council, Jim Wallace, Sojourners. Now, that's the leadership of the George Soros-funded Evangelical Immigration Table, who are working hand-in-hand with Rome to pass an amnesty bill for millions of illegal immigrants, not people fleeing persecution. The vast majority not even fleeing actual poverty, but of people who have been convinced they have a right to circumvent legitimate laws and invade a country of their choice, America, and then, once here, change this country into the image of the one they left. And by the way, mixed into their number is a certain number of very dangerous individuals, robbers, rapists, murderers, and drug cartel members. Now, no wonder George Soros is investing millions in illegal immigration and open borders. George Soros, who hates America, everything we stand for, at least what we have stood for. On the other hand, the new evangelical pro-amnesty crowd sees the Roman Catholic illegals as Christians and their co-belligerents in the cultural wars. The reality is the folks coming across our borders illegally are not near so pro-family or even pro-life as the new evangelicals like to think and as surveys have shown, but that's another issue. And then there's Rome. There's Rome and her stake in open borders and the illegal immigration. The Romish clergy call this migration, by the way. Now, many conservative evangelical political types have been shocked to see conservative Republican Senators Paul Ryan and Marco Rubio working hard and, quite frankly, using much deception and trickery to pass an amnesty bill. And they have passed an amnesty bill in the Senate. Now they're pushing for it in the House. The reality is both of those men are Roman Catholics. Now, over in the House of Representatives, so-called conservative Republican Speaker of the House, John Boehner, is being cast as the counterweight to the Senate crowd and their bill. But there's been a not-too-subtle shift in how this issue is being discussed. Boehner is one who represents that shift. He's talking tough about the absolute necessity of securing the border. And then he says, prior to granting amnesty. So in other words, amnesty is a given. Of course, we're all for that, aren't we? But we've got to secure that border first, where over in the Senate, obviously their bill would not do that. And that's now supposed to be a tough stand on illegal immigration. But let me mention that John Boehner is also a Roman Catholic. So it seems to me we have a case of good cop, bad cop going on here. And I don't doubt these men are being counseled and urged on by the political machine of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. You see, it's all about creating a narrative and the impression of a tough political fight and making it so these Roman Catholic politicians can somehow survive this politically, so they take certain positions that will work in their particular constituency. But the end game is clear. It's amnesty for millions, any way you cut it. And with that, the promise of more of the same, I say more illegal immigration, and then eventually more amnesties in the coming years to those who can get across the border. And if there ends up being increased security, well, there might not be as many that get across, but it's the same end game. The flood of illegal immigrants into our nation is part and parcel of Romanizing America. Rome, by the American Council of Catholic Bishops, as well as an army of priests and nuns, working through, I might say, an army of priests and nuns and others, laymen, as they say, has been laboring for decades to break down all barriers and safeguards against illegal immigration into our country. In fact, the word preferred, as I said earlier, the word preferred by the papists is migration. That is, Rome believes the Roman Catholic people of Mexico and south of there ought to have the freedom to come to America at will. I say those also south of Mexico, but those folks have a tough go to get through Mexico to America, because Mexico guards its southern borders well and deals harshly with illegals who come into their country, even as that same government aids Mexicans crossing into America illegally and then sending American money back into the Mexican economy. Now, as I documented a number of years ago in a booklet called The Romanizing of America Through Illegal Immigration, the Vatican, through her clerical machine in America, has been using every trick in the book, including an underground railroad beginning in Mexico and terminating in America and run by priests. I documented that somewhat in that booklet I mentioned, and since I wrote that, there's been much more evidence that's come out about this underground railroad, and there it is, to bring illegal aliens into this country from Mexico, including using Roman Catholic churches on both sides of the border, and certainly here on this side of the border, as shelters and sanctuaries for illegals, and including educating illegals on how to manipulate America's legal and welfare system, including taking part in and helping organize street demonstrations in favor of illegal immigration and open borders, and actually using churches as staging areas and then priests leading it. And certainly also their strategy includes an ongoing, well-funded, high-powered, well-oiled political campaign in the state and federal legislatures on behalf of the open borders, illegal immigrant crowd. These are things we've documented over the past 16 or 17 years in various ways. This is all part of Popery's centuries-long crusade to Romanize Protestant America by hook or by crook. Of course, Mexico is run by a corrupt socialist government. It is a nation in economic shambles and has been for centuries in spite of many natural resources. And why? Because of many centuries of Roman Catholic dominance. And so the state of Mexico, I say the state of it, is the fruit of the corrupt religious, economic, and cultural philosophy and religious doctrines of Rome. Now, to the north of Mexico is the economically robust, free, and prosperous United States of America. Well, this is because of centuries of Protestant religious influence and teaching, certainly with regard to the doctrines of our faith, but including as we look at what the Bible teaches with regard to the work ethic and property rights and our form of civil constitutional government and our social and economic policies. Now, of course, times are changing in that regard, and Rome has had her hand in that, seeking, of course, to Romanize America in every way, going back to the earliest colonial times. Now, a big part of this effort in recent decades has been Rome's strategy to destroy America's border with Mexico and flood our country with Roman Catholic Mexicans, illegals who are loyal to Rome, and, of course, also their country, Mexico. Now, Mexicans and other Hispanics who come to America legally very often assimilate and become Americans. The same cannot be said of the vast majority of illegals. Now, I've spoken and written about this in the past, and today I just want to read you some excerpts from a press release by the United States Council of Catholic Bishops, also another document, and then read some excerpts from a very long testimony given to the U.S. Senate Judicial Committee in February by a Roman Catholic bishop. So bear with me. I've got these things in front of me. I'm going to jump through them. This is going to be rough. Now, I want to first mention that there are a good number of Roman Catholic people, although clearly far from a majority, but a good number who are against their church's position and efforts regarding illegal immigration. What I'm dealing with here is the official, increasingly effectual Roman Catholic position and strategy guided and directed by the Vatican, originating there, and then put into practice and place by the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. Well, we're going to have to move along here, so I'm going to read this with as little comment as possible. And by the way, as you listen, keep this in mind, that not so very long ago, the Roman Catholic Church came out in favor of restricting immigration into Italy. I'm saying restricting immigration into Italy, that is, by certain people. In other words, non-Catholics. The stated reason was that such immigrants, being of a different religion than the majority of the Italians, really should not be allowed in. They are not Roman Catholics, so they shouldn't be allowed in. And so that was just an example of the hypocrisy of Rome in this as well. Well, here we have a press release from the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. It's dated June 10th, 2013. I'll read you some of this. As the U.S. Senate begins debate on immigration reform legislation this week, Archbishop Jose Gomez of Los Angeles, chairman of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops Committee on Migration, note that, not immigration, migration, urged Congress to approve S-744, the Border Security, Economic Opportunity, and Immigration Modernization Act, which would reform the nation's immigration system. And then it talks about a statement he made at a press conference, and he was joined by several other bishops as well. And he said, the outcome of this debate and of the one to follow in the House of Representatives will impact the future of our nation in the 21st century and beyond. And of course, truer words were never spoken. He goes on, each day in our parishes, social service programs, hospitals, and schools, we witness the human consequences of a broken immigration system. Families are separated, migrant workers are exploited, and our fellow human beings die in the desert. Without positive change in our immigration laws, we cannot help our brothers and sisters, unquote. Well, the reality is, of course, it's not broke, it's just not being enforced, and if it was being enforced, the things he's complaining about, well, it wouldn't be happening. It's the Roman Catholic Church that is helping to lure people here. And yes, some do die crossing the desert. Let's go on, just jumping through this. I can't comment on everything. These bishops then highlight the need for comprehensive immigration reform. And this is interesting. Let me read this. Bishop Soto, one of the bishops with Gomez, highlight the need for comprehensive immigration reform that provides an achievable and accessible path to citizenship that, now listen to this, quote, includes the maximum number of people. Maximum number. In other words, come one, come all, erase the border. We've got to get as many in here as we can. And all undocumented persons should be brought out of the shadows and placed into the new system. What else? I told you it'd be rough. I'm going to jump through here. Oh, here. The bishops, of course, representing their Romish master. I say the Pope, the Vatican, this is their policy. Not that the bishops aren't in this heart and soul as well. But it says here, oppose proposed floor amendments that would, quote, mandate additional border enforcement as a prerequisite to legalization citizenship. In other words, leave it open. Leave it open. Just give the amnesty. Let me skip through here. They say it's impossible anyway here to have border security. Practically impossible to achieve. And so they're worried about making that some sort of issue at all. Archbishop Gomez says, in the end, the outcome of this debate will not only affect our nation's future, it will impact our soul. Well, it's going to impact the souls of many as America is more and more Romanized, with the help of new evangelicals, by the way, in so many different ways. Now, next, we have some things in front of me here printed off from the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops having to do with their, quote, migration and refugee services. And it says here they want to create a world where immigrants, refugees, migrants, and people on the move are treated with dignity, respect, welcome, and belonging. Now, wait a minute. Legal immigrants are one thing. Refugees, true refugees from persecution, that's another. Migrants and people on the move, come one, come all, erase all the borders. That's what Rome wants. Rome doesn't want sovereign nations, especially a nation like ours. They want the border erased. The better to put forward Rome's agenda, and Rome can deal with less civil governments. Rome can work to put their people in charge in those civil governments so the Pope can once again actually bear two swords, the spiritual and the carnal sword. Here's a mission statement, Migration and Refugee Services vision statement. It talks about the commitment they have to bring in, really, migrants and to get them accepted and so on and so forth. And then they say this is rooted in the gospel mandate that every person is to be welcomed by the disciple as if he or she were Christ himself, and in the right of every human being to pursue without constraint the call to holiness. You see how they couch this in religious speech. Their gospel mandate, that's not the gospel mandate, so to speak, as they put it, of Christ. That's what I'm saying. And the new evangelicals do the same thing. They just warp scripture and take it out of context. It just goes on. It talks about the network they have and their building for this whole open borders, illegal immigration movement, the Bishop's Committee on Migration, what they do. Here's more information on what they do. I think I need to move along. It's very, very revealing. You can look it up yourself. But let's get to this testimony before the Senate Judiciary Committee by this bishop, Jose Gomez, Archbishop of Los Angeles, Chairman, U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. Now, bear with me. I think it's worthwhile. I'm just going to read excerpt. Some of it might be choppy. We need to move along, so I'll just read some of these things. So here we are. Let's get started. We are hopeful that today's hearing marks the beginning of a process that will result in swift enactment of comprehensive immigration reform. Our nation cannot wait any longer to repair our broken immigration system, which does not accommodate the migration realities we face in our nation today, or respect the basic human rights of migrants who come to this country in search of employment for themselves and their children. In order to achieve real reform, the Obama administration and Congress must work together on a comprehensive package that would provide a path to citizenship for undocumented migrants and their families in the U.S. and provide legal means for migrants to enter our nation to work and support their families, just come and go, in other words, and reform the system whereby immigrants come to the United States to reunite with close family members. Well, what happens is someone from Mexico will come in, and then they'll say, well, here I am, now I want my family, and I want my brothers, my sisters, my mother, my father, my cousins, and so on. We also must restore due process protection to immigrants, as if they don't have any due process, many of which were taken away under the Illegal Immigration Reform and Immigrant Responsibility Act of 1997. Perhaps most importantly, the United States must work with Mexico and other nations to address the root causes of migration so that migrants and their families may have greater opportunity to remain in their homeland and can live in dignity. In other words, we're supposed to pump money into Mexico so the Mexican government can, you know, squander it and misuse it and so on and so forth. I say our government's supposed to do that. It's all part of, you know, the community of goods and so on and so forth. The socialist, I should say, policies and philosophy of the Roman Church. Let me just jump through this and read some highlights or lowlights. Specifically, my testimony recommends that Congress, and I'll read some of these, just a few, enact comprehensive immigration reform legislation that provides a path to citizenship, restore basic due process protections for immigrants, including the restoration of administration and judicial discretion in removal proceedings and elimination of the 3 to 10 year bars to reentry. In other words, if someone's here illegally, they want a judge, a liberal judge, to be able to say, oh, that's all right, you can stay anyway, you seem like a nice person. And the ones that are deported, they don't have to wait. They can just come back in again right away, either legally, I suppose, or illegally, and not get into any more trouble. More than one-third of Catholics in the United States are of Hispanic origin. They stayed here. Jumping through this, excerpts. The Catholic Church has a long history of involvement in the immigration issue, both in the advocacy arena and in welcoming and assimilating waves of immigrants and refugees who have helped build our nation throughout her history. Well, the Catholic Church certainly didn't welcome the Ulster Scots when they came, the Protestants, Presbyterians many, or from Scotland, other places, but yes, from the Republic of Ireland, and yes, now from Mexico. Many Catholic immigration programs were involved in the implementation of the Immigration Reform and Control Act in the 1980s. That was amnesty there. And in fact, did you know this? The U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops was a national coordinating agency for the implementation of the Immigration Reform and Control Act. That I didn't know. A national coordinating agency, a church, well, a church state. Here's another excerpt. We have a strong working relationship with the Department of Homeland Security. Should I read that again? We, talking about the Roman Catholic Church leadership, have a strong working relationship with the Department of Homeland Security and with U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services. And we'll jump down to another one. The church's work is, I'm not even going to go into this one. It's more twisting of the scriptures. Here, Pope John Paul II states that there's a need to balance the rights of nations to control their borders with basic human rights. And, of course, the context is the right of people to come in if they feel like it. And then there's other quotes from other popes, including Benedict XVI, of course, supporting illegal immigration. Here's an excerpt in our joint pastoral letter. The U.S. and Mexican Catholic bishops further define church teaching on migration, calling for nations to work together toward, quote, a globalization of solidarity. It is now time to harmonize policies on the movement of people, particularly in a way that respects human dignity of the migrant and recognizes the social consequences of globalization. The U.S. and Mexican bishops also point out why we speak on the migration issue. As pastors, we witness the consequences of the failed immigration system every day in the eyes of migrants who come to our parish doors in search of assistance. That's the Underground Railroad I was talking about. Let's just jump through this. Then they have more quotes from more popes. And then we are heartened by statements by President Obama that immigration reform is a priority for his administration and that he is committed to working with Congress for its enactment in the near future. In other words, amnesty is a priority. Going on here, Mr. Chairman, the U.S. Catholic bishops believe that any comprehensive immigration reform bill should contain the following elements. I'm only going to read some of them or we'll be here forever. It's a very long statement. Here they are. Some of the elements must be in this, in any bill passed. A path to citizenship that gives deserving migrants who are currently in the United States in undocumented status an opportunity to earn legal permanent residency and eventual citizenship. And then they want the visa program to be redone to make it easier to just come and go. They want people to be able to bring relatives in as well, the illegals. They want restoration of due process protections. What are they talking about there? That's nonsense. They have due process. Policies that address the root cause of migration, in other words, more foreign aid. They want legal remedies for special populations, in other words, government legal remedies and help going on. And with regard to immigration policy reform, it's vital that Congress and the administration address a path to citizenship for the undocumented currently in the United States. And then another statement. It's a mantra. Amnesty, 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 amnesty. So I'm not going to keep reading each of these statements. We ask the committee to resist making the path to citizenship contingent upon enforcement goals along the border. That's pretty telling. They also claim we have enough border control already, that there is operational control, so no problem, I guess. Despite the dire warnings of opponents of a path to citizenship for undocumented workers, the bishop says here, evidence suggests that it would yield benefits at many levels, and then they give all the supposed benefits. They go on and talk about, well, let me read this one. Since 1993, when the U.S. Border Patrol initiated a series of enforcement initiatives along our southern border to stem the flow of undocumented migrants, then they talk about how much money has been spent. And they're saying that this has just caused a bunch of people to die. And it's very troubling. And it's very severe enforcement efforts. And they talk about how terrible this is and how it criminalizes, believe it or not, listen to this, quote, criminalized unauthorized entry and reentry of immigrants. So that was not right. They're talking about illegal immigrants. And it's terrible, all wrong. Going on, as you may know, Mr. Chairman, the U.S. bishops have expressed concern with the border fence, which has been built along our southern border, as well as the ongoing implementation of Operation Streamline, without getting into what that is. Of course, the border fence hasn't been built. Just a very short part of it was built, and then it was stopped, even though the law was it was supposed to be built. Here's an interesting statement as I scan this. We are hopeful, the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, we are hopeful that comprehensive immigration policy reform, that is amnesty, that emphasizes legal avenues for migration will mitigate the perceived need for continuing to increase the number of Border Patrol agents, criminal prosecutions of immigrants, and the amount and length of border fencing. Now, go figure that one, as they say. In other words, if we grant amnesty to millions of people who came here illegally, that's somehow going to mean we don't need really border security. Well, actually, it's the opposite, because people will stream across the border thinking they can get amnesty, too. Let me just look at this. We also believe that the definitions of terrorist activity, terrorist organizations, and what constitutes material support to a terrorist organization in the Immigration and Nationality Act were written so broadly and applied so expansively that thousands of refugees are being unjustly labeled as supporters of terrorist activities, organizations, and participants. Unbelievable. In other words, come on, we got to lighten up here on what a terrorist is so more people can come in. Well, there have been terrorists coming through. Let me just jump through to the end here as quick as I can. There's so much. You can read it yourself. You can find it on the website of the U.S. or United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. Here's something you might be interested in. We recommend the inclusion of the following elements in any legislation to ensure that a program is implemented appropriately. I'll just read a few. Confidentiality. Applicants for legalization should be extended confidentially and not be subject to arrest and deportation if they fail to qualify for the program. In other words, if their criminal background and so on and so forth. This would ensure maximum participation in the program and that those who do qualify are not discouraged or intimidated from applying. Yes, wouldn't want those with a criminal background to be intimidated from applying for amnesty. Derivative benefits. Immediate family members should receive the same immigration benefits under legalization as the primary beneficiary. That is, if one person can make it across, then the others can come across under the amnesty program. A simple and broad registration process. Such a process would bring forward eligible applicants for preliminary security screening, broad humanitarian waiver, a broad waiver of bars to admissibility, such as unlawful presence, fraud, or offense related to unauthorized status should be included in the legislation. I think I better read that to you again from the bishops. They want to have this included in any legislation regarding immigration, the ongoing battle over this immigration legislation. What it needs to include is, quote, a broad waiver of bars to admissibility into the amnesty program, such as, listen carefully, unlawful presence, okay, you're here unlawfully, fraud, you've committed fraud, or offenses related to unauthorized status, like if the Border Patrol ordered you to stop and you threw rocks at them and so on and so forth, as they do. Border Patrol agents have been beat up. They've been rocked. Their vehicles have been stoned. They've been killed even. Mr. Chairman, the bishop goes on, we urge you and the committee to consider our recommendations as you consider the myriad issues in this vital area. We are hopeful that as our public officials debate this issue, that migrants, regardless of their legal status, are not made scapegoats for the challenges we face as a nation. In other words, here we go again, same old song. Well, we're just against them because, what are we? I guess we're frustrated, we're angry, we're all sorts of terrible things. And so these are the scapegoats. He goes on, rhetoric that attacks the human rights and dignity of the migrant are not becoming a nation of immigrants. Neither are xenophobic and anti-immigrant attitudes, which only serve to lessen us as a nation. So all of you folks that think we ought to have a sane immigration policy, we ought to have border security, you're xenophobic. Mr. Chairman, the U.S. Catholic bishops strongly believe that comprehensive immigration reform should be a top priority for Congress and the administration and should be enacted this year. We look forward to working with you and the administration the days and months ahead to fashion an immigration system, the Roman Catholic bishops and our government together, that upholds the valuable contribution of immigrants and reaffirms the United States as a nation of immigrants. Well, that's enough. That's enough from that very long, many pages long testimony of Bishop Gomez before the United States Senate Judiciary Committee pushing so-called immigration reform. That was, as I said, Jose Gomez, Archbishop of Los Angeles, Chairman, U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. And that's it for this Heart of the Matter, except for one thing I want to yet state. To those who would choose to call me a Roman Catholic hater because of my concern over this issue I've covered today, I would ask, well, how many Roman Catholics have you warned of hell and shared the gospel with? We love the souls of the Roman Catholic people. We don't hate them by any means. In fact, let me just close with this brief statement from our church's website. It's just a brief statement. It comes under About Us, which contains other statements about other things about us. Here it is. We love the souls of our Roman Catholic countrymen and recognize that many of them are sincere, kind, and principled. But we detest such Romish rituals as the blasphemous Mass, and we are grieved that the Roman Catholic people are deceived by their priests into believing salvation is obtained by the sacraments and good works. We hold to the historic Protestant position that the Pope, every Pope, is the son of perdition, the Antichrist. We believe that Revelation 17 and 18 describe the Pope's church. We also believe strongly in religious liberty, so we hold that the civil government has no right to interfere with or infringe upon the rights of either Protestants or Roman Catholics to freely exercise their religion.